Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Formula Scout podcast. I'm the host, Alejandro Alonso López, and our guest today is no other than Formula 2 Cheruz Racing assistant, Enzo Fittipaldi. Hello Enzo, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well indeed. I mean, already looking forward to Barcelona, but first, let's talk a bit about Imola, because, I mean, it was a great race for you. You achieved your maiden Formula 2 podium there.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. Thanks a lot for the invite. It's a pleasure to be here doing the interview with you. I know I met you in Barcelona for the first time, and we spoke about doing this podcast, and yeah, I'm really happy to be here. So, man, it was a really good race. We started 15th, finished second. You know, it's a lot of points. It was the best result of the team in history. They never finished that high up in a feature race. They won sprint race, but in feature race, I think their best result before that was fourth or third. So I was quite happy to get that result and score those points. I think it was extremely important. It gave a big boost of confidence for the whole team, especially now because it's just the start of the season. So yeah, I'm just extremely happy about that podium.
Yeah, definitely. It must have been a great feeling standing there on the podium and at such an iconic track like Imola. But we had a very chaotic weekend. We were there with lots of rain, sun. The practice got postponed due to the wet conditions. Then in qualifying, it was wet again, and you were quite high and in the order, actually as high as before, I think. And then the track started to dry out, and you dropped back. Then sprint race was a bit difficult, but you got back on top. And in the feature race, how does a driver manage weekends like those where things are so difficult, conditions are changing every minute, and you cannot really prepare for the races?
I think, yeah, the most important thing is to stay calm, because you know there's so much going on. So I think just trying to stay calm at all times, you know, always hitting your marks, not making any mistakes. That's very important when it's a weekend so crazy like it was in Imola. In qualifying, we were in the top five for most of the qualifying. When I boxed to put a new set of tires, I had an issue with one of the tires, and we were unable to change the tire. Was taking, we lost like 2-3 minutes. Yeah, that compromised our qualifying quite a bit, and we ended up 15th. But other than that, our pace in qualifying was for sure to be in the top six. So we had pace, we knew it. It just was unfortunate what happened in the pit stop. And yeah, Saturday, the sprint race, we struggled a bit with the balance. Throughout the whole race, but we were still able to have a good start and finish, I think, 12th in the race or 11th. I don't know. Yeah, I think 12th, which was a good result, just outside the points. And then the future race on Sunday, we adjusted the car after what I felt on Saturday. We made some changes and we were just flying. We were so fast on Sunday. I think for sure one of the fastest cars on track. And yeah, we started the race and it was an amazing race. Just moving forward the whole time, making overtakes, always, you know, attacking, always on attack mode because we were just so fast. And it was great. It was an amazing race. We had an amazing start. Pit stop was really good. The strategy was right on. And yeah, the last couple laps was a lot of fun as well. Making those overtakes for the podium.
Yeah, definitely, it was a great weekend. You said, well, you were on attack mode for the whole race. Definitely, you moved up like 13 positions.
Yeah, it was
definitely amazing.
No, it was great. It was great. It was a great weekend.
In such a competitive field like the F2 field, and you know, towards the end of the race, we had a bit of a controversial moment. Let's call it like that, because Liam Lawson lost control of his car, and then obviously race direction put the virtual safety car out, and then immediately turned into a safety car. You weren't at least compromised for that because you had already done your pit stop. But in your opinion, because we've seen several difficult controversial situations with safety cars in recent weekends, what's going on there in resurrection? But they are making those, not sure if mistakes, but it's definitely weird to see when a car is already in the wall, and we've seen that it was in a very difficult part of the track to recover the car. Bringing out the virtual safety car perhaps wasn't the best idea.
I mean, I think they manage it extremely well. I think for sure the FIA know what they're doing. This new idea of obviously virtual safety car, not a new idea. I mean, it's been around now for the past couple of years. So I personally really like the idea of the virtual safety car. I think, you know, sometimes when a safety car is not needed, you know, you have the perfect thing is the virtual safety car. And I think, yeah, it was on the mark. Like, I think that incident with Liam, it was really like, do we need a safety car? Do we not? I think it wasn't very clear. But like you saw in the race, the virtual safety car worked out perfectly fine. And we went back racing. Yeah, it was fine. And then obviously we in the last laps, we ended the race under yellow, right? Or we didn't even do the last push lap. It just went straight to checkered flag, which for me, that was a bit frustrating because honestly, I think we were so fast on Sunday that if there wasn't that incident with Lawson and there wasn't that virtual safety car or safety car.
Yeah, it was virtual safety car, and then after half a lap, turned into a safety car.
Yeah, it turned. That's right. I think I got it confused. I forgot. It actually ended up going into safety car. So, yeah, I think they made the right decision there. But yeah, for me, I personally would have preferred to not have had a safety car at that moment because I had just overtaken Boshong, and I was on the charge. And I think there was like still five laps to go. I think Boshier was like 3 seconds ahead. I don't know if I would have been able to fight for the win, but I think I would have been able to like get within 1 second, and you know, never know.
To put some pressure on Theo and perhaps.
Yeah, I think for sure. Yeah. 100%. I think that if there wasn't the safety car, I think we could have definitely put some pressure on Theo. But yeah, the safety car came out just after I overtook Boshong. And then that was the end of the race. I think the race ended under safety car. And P2 was a great result for the whole team. It was amazing. I mean, 18 points. It's a lot of points for the championship. So I'm just, like I said, I'm really happy with how the weekend went. My focus now is in Barcelona. You know, have a good qualifying the top 10. You know, that's the goal, because when you're in the top 10, you're always in the mix because of the reverse grid, and you're always there fighting for points. So that's the goal for Barcelona. We had a positive test there a couple weeks ago. I'm just really looking forward to racing in Barcelona.
Yeah, definitely. As you mentioned, with reverse grids, getting a good qualifying, putting the car in within top 10 is key to have a great weekend. But wrapping up the Imola weekend, it was your first podium in Formula 2, and it was also in Italy, a place where you've lived for some years as you've been part of the Ferrari Driver Academy, does that make it even more special? And also the fact that all your family was there with you?
Of course. I think, you know, it's always going to be a special place for me. You know, Bologna, Maranello, Imola, this area, because I lived there for 5 years and when I was in the Ferrari Driver Academy. And, you know, Imola is just such a historic track that, you know, to get a podium there, it's amazing. It's always an amazing feeling. There's so much history in Imola. So it was great. Did it feel special? Yeah, I think it did. It felt really good because, you know, last year I had a really strong accident in Jeddah. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be ready for the season this year. And luckily, I recovered extremely fast, much faster than what the doctors expected. And that was cleared, you know, to race this year. It was really on the limit. And, you know, just to get the podium just on like on the third race weekend after everything that happened last year in Jeddah, you know, we're on the pace, we're really fast. It's like I said, it for sure is extremely special. And I'm just really happy with that result. That result meant a lot to me, you know, because the past 4 or 5 months have probably been the most difficult times of my life. So yeah, that result meant a lot.
Yeah, well, as you just mentioned, you were last year, unfortunately, you had a very, very big accident there in Jeddah after scoring, I think that were in the sprint race, or so your very first points of the season, or your very first points in Formula 2, then the accident came in the feature race. Could you talk us a bit through what happened there? I mean, how did you feel in that moment and the days after the accident? How difficult was it to manage the situation?
Oh, for sure. It was a really difficult moment. Yeah, where can I begin? I mean, I think, yeah, we just had the start of the race. Theo, yeah, that's the other funny thing is that on the podium next to me was Pocher in Imola, and he's also the one I crashed with in that I had my big accident in Jeddah. So that was also something really, really nice. I was able to speak with Theo after the Imola podium for the first time since the crash. So that was something really cool. But yeah, the crash last year, what can I say? I think it was just, unfortunate. Theo stalled and, you know, I had a really good start and I pulled over to the right side where the racing line where Theo was sitting in third spot, his car was stalled and the car right in front of me just missed him. And there was just no time. I tried turning to the left and yeah, everything just happened so fast. That, yeah, next thing you know, I'm in the ambulance going to the hospital and yeah, it was difficult. I think I was really lucky. For sure, I was very lucky to come out with only the injuries I have. I'm very grateful to have come out with, honestly, the least amount of injuries I could have come out from that accident. I think, I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, so, well, you had, I think it was a broken heel, if I'm not wrong. Something, it was it? And
yeah.
Also, Pietro some years ago had broken leg also in an accident in Spa-Francorchamps. Did his experience recovering from such a serious injury help you in order to be more positive or?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was there by my side all the time. I mean, I was going through a lot of pain because, other than the broken heel, I had also some, you know, other complications. I had cuts all over my face, there was, it wasn't an easy time, and him being there by my side, obviously, was comforting, because I knew, you know, that he went through something very similar. So it was just really difficult. I mean, you know, you work so hard, every day races for your race weekends. And, you know, this is, my dream is to make it to Formula One, and then boom, we have this accident, and you don't know what the doctor is going to say. You don't know when you'll be able to get back in the car. You're just thinking about right after the crash, I'm like, I already want to get back in the car. And then, and then the doctor was like, oh, you're going to have to do some surgery on your foot to fix, you know, some things. And then you're going to have to recover. It's going to be at least 6 to 8 months before you have to get in the car. And I'm like, there's no way. I have to be in the car in 2-3 months. I have to be in the car, because that was already in December. And the season for Formula 2, the next season, I need to be in the car. In my head, it was 3 months. So I'm like, how am I going to do this? It was really difficult. It was really difficult to hear the doctor saying that. And I just couldn't accept it. I was like, no, I need to be back in the car and ready for the 2022 season. I was going to do anything to be ready for the first race weekend in Bahrain, or for the first tests in Bahrain, which was a couple months ago. And then I had my surgery January 4th on my heel. Everything went great. It was very painful. And then I had to stay like a month and a half without bearing any weight. And then the doctors still said they weren't sure if they were going to clear me or not. And luckily they did a scan and a CT scan, and it was healing extremely quick. Everything, like my heel, everything healed like double the speed than what it should have. And the doctors were really impressed, and they were like, yeah, you can drive. I mean, it's going to hurt a little bit in the first tests, but they cleared me. And I was like, I couldn't believe it, because, you know, I put my mind to it. And when I got back home, all I was thinking was about getting back in the car. What do I need to do? What can I do to be as fit as possible? So I was training every day. I'd wake up in the morning, 7 a.m., and I would train the whole day, every day, training. Training everything, my whole body. Obviously, I have to rest my right leg. But that training and, you know, doing the physical therapy, that's what got me to heal that fast. Because if I train the rest of my body and I don't stay laying down in bed for 1 month, which I should have been laying down, and I was training just already a couple of days after my surgery, that's what... you know, doubled the healing, because it would send blood down to my broken heel, and it would heal faster. So I would always, you know, I would train for hours and hours, eat properly, drink a lot of cow milk, a lot of calcium. I just put my mind to it, and there I was. I was ready to race. So we did the announcement. It was last minute with Chirouz. And then I was testing in Bahrain. I was still with my scooter, and it was painful, but I mean, I can tell you I came out I'm a different person. I think I'm just a lot more stronger mentally, physically, everything. So yeah, Jeddah crash was bad, but at the end, I came out much stronger. And at the end of the day, I look at it as a positive thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was a lot of effort put there in order to recover as quick as possible. I mean, I imagine when the doctors told you that it would be from 6 to 8 months to recover, I can imagine that was a very tough moment indeed, because the crash was, as you said, there in December, and by that time most of the deals are already done, so you weren't sure whether you would be racing or you would be ready for the start of the season. So team would need to know what to do, whether to replace you or to look for another driver. So that must be a very stressful situation, and the fact that you managed to go through it and even to go out of it stronger, it's definitely quite impressive.
So, no, it was great. That's why I like the podium in Imola, man. That for me was something extremely special. I mean, because it's been how many months since my accident? 5-6 months. Something like this. Must be 6 months or five months since the accident or something. I don't know. But just for me to get the podium there was amazing. And, you know, it's been difficult because Bahrain, we were fast, just missed out in qualifying. Jeddah, I was blocked by another driver on a very fast lap, which would have put me top five. And I was blocked and ended up P16. So I had to start in the back. Imola, we had the issue with the pit stop in qualifying. We always had the pace, you know. We've had the pace to be there in the top 10. I've been finishing at P11, P12, P10, just always just outside the points. And then, boom, it just clicked for us in this feature race in Imola. And we got the P2. So, yeah, I've been really consistent. I finished every single race this season up until now. Always, you know, in the top 12, which is really good. And that's right. We're just going to keep building on it and continue with this momentum for the next race weekend.
Yes, definitely. It was great reward for all the efforts you put during the winter and also at the start of the season. As you said, well, you even told me in Barcelona, if I'm not wrong, that when you were there in Bahrain in the car, that the feeling with the car wasn't the best, especially in the long runs. Your leg got a bit tired. How could you manage through that?
Yeah, it was difficult. Like Bahrain race weekend, I'll be very honest with you, was very painful. Because it was really hard. I mean, I was still recovering. And it was just extremely difficult race, honestly. It was let's just be honest, it was just fighting through the pain until the end. And it was really like a mental fight, like just three more laps, two more laps. And then there's like this big bump before turn one in Bahrain. And every time I would go through that bump, because it really, like the Formula 2 car, you really slam really hard on the floor when you hit that bump. You can ask any driver and they know exactly what. I think in Formula 1, you don't really feel it, but like in Formula 2 and Formula 3, there's a really big bump before turn one, just before braking. And every time I would go through that bump, I'd be like, I would hold and I would tense up because every time your heel hits really hard on the floor. So it was very painful. But it was, we made it to the end. We actually, you know, we're always in the top 11, top 12 in Bahrain. So we had good results just outside the points. And then, yeah, my foot's just been recovering so fast. In Imola, I had zero pain. So I'm 100% now. And Imola was really fast. And I am feeling great each day. It's getting better. It's already 100%. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, definitely. And now it could be said, I think that this very tough chapter in your career is close with the podium. What are the expectations towards the rest of the season? Does this podium and closing this chapter in Imola, where you had no pain, change the approach for the rest of the season in any sense?
Oh, I think I knew the first two race weekends was going to be difficult. But now, you know, with time, you go recovering and recovering and healing. And now I'm 100%. And I think, no, I mean, my goal is to get many podiums this year. I want to win. I want a victory. I want a couple victories. I'm sure we can fight for wins this year. You know, with reverse grid, things like this. So I'm looking forward to being on the podium very soon. I'm looking forward to getting hopefully a victory soon. I'm working towards that. So that's for sure is the goal for this year. You know, it's just to continue being consistent, finishing all the races, trying to learn as much as possible, always trying to learn something new every time I go out on track. And yeah, that feeling of getting that feeling, just getting the podium in Imola, like it's the best feeling in the world. Like finishing there in P2 was like just an amazing feeling, because you work so hard for this moment, you know? So it only motivates me even more, because I want to feel that this sensation more and more. And I can't even imagine how a victory must feel. So I'm working a lot outside of the track to be prepared as possible mentally and physically. And I know what I have to work on to be, you know, faster on track. I know what my weak points are. I know my strong points. So, yeah, like I said, we're going to be ready for Barcelona. I can't wait. I love that track.
Yeah, well, you say you know what are your weak points, what are your strongest points. Could you share with us what are those in your opinion?
It's difficult to say. I think it really varies per every session. So, you know, like, I mean, weak points, some like, it really goes like from race weekend, because I always like, it's not like a general weak point. I think it really depends on the race weekend. So I always try and find something, because there's always something you can improve. Even if you think you're at the best at 100%, or you think you made the best lap possible, there's always somewhere that you can find half a tenth. So I mean, like, weak point, I mean, is I look back at the Imola race weekend. I look back at every session. And I look back at, you know, what I can. Obviously, we don't have onboards. So you need to keep the onboards in your head and store them in there and try to remember as much as possible. And I just look back at the races and I rewatch them and I see, you know, can I be more consistent? What could I have done differently in some situations? When I look back at the feature race, honestly, there was not much else I could have done differently. So it was really an almost perfect race for me. But like some things in the Saturday race, Friday qualifying, some minor mistakes that I look back and I think, well, what could I have done to avoid that? You know, I'm always trying to find little things to always continue improving, because there's always something you can improve on. That's what I meant by, like, I didn't mean what are weak. I don't know. Like, I didn't mean saying like weak points and strong points. I mean, like, I go every race weekend and I look at what was weak for me that race weekend and I try and work on it for the next. So it varies a lot per race weekend. But yeah, I think my strongest point in Imola was definitely the racecraft, and decision making was really good.
So changing a bit topic now, and in recent days we've had Bruno Michel saying that driver academies are overpopulated. You've been part of the Ferrari Driver Academy. Now you are not part of it anymore. How was the life there when you were at the academy? Because indeed you were sharing the academy with many other drivers like Callum Ilott, also Marcus Armstrong, who who is not any longer in the academy, but also Mick Schumacher, Robert Schwarzman, and many others. How was the life there in the academy?
It was a great opportunity. You know, it was really an amazing experience. I learned so much in those 3-4 years. You know, it really, I mean, I started at a very young age. I was 15 years old when I signed with Ferrari. And yeah, everything for me was like, whoa, because I never raced in Europe. And I only did karting in the United States and some NASCAR Junior Series as well here in Charlotte. So when I was called up to do the test in Maranello, it was a 3-day camp, went very well. We were very fast. And that's when they signed me and Marcus. So I spent 4 years there living in Maranello. Like I said, it was an amazing experience. I learned a lot about, you know, driving, a lot about how important it is to present yourself and always, you know, being very professional, you know, how can I say, always present yourself in a very professional way, because it makes a big difference. And, you know, you learn a lot there, and you learn what it means to represent such a huge brand like Ferrari. So it was an amazing experience. You know, it was great. I lived in Formigine, which was like 5-10 minutes away from Maranello, and it was amazing. I think this will definitely be something special that I'll hold for the rest of my life. And like I said, I learned so much there. So yeah, I'm just really grateful for that opportunity.
Among those things you learned, is Italian one of those? Because I mean, there have been some other, especially British drivers, let's not say any names, but despite being there for several years, haven't made it. Were you able to get some Italian?
Oh yeah, I was able to learn a lot of Italian, because it was mandatory to learn Italian. So we would do every week, we would 3 times per week, there was Italian lessons in Ferrari, in the factory. There was a room there with that. There was a teacher, and we would learn Italian 3 times a week. And I did that for 3 years. So my Italian, it's pretty good. But obviously I haven't been I haven't stayed a long time in Italy. I left there like a year and a half ago. So sometimes when I speak Italian, I mix it a little bit with Spanish. But after a day or something, I'm already speaking fluent Italian. So it's great. I speak 4 languages now. I speak Italian, wow. Spanish, English, and Portuguese. So I'm very happy about that. And tú hablas español, Alejandro?
Yes.
Tú eres de España?
Sí.
No, qué bueno.
Yeah, we got back to English, as our listeners are mainly from the UK. So it's definitely a great thing learning languages. Do you feel comfortable with that? Let's go more into a bit of a personal side of yours. Do you like learning languages?
Yeah, I do. I really like it. I think it's great. It really, how can I say this? I don't know. You meet a lot more people because you're able to communicate with a lot of different other languages. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that I met that can only speak Spanish, or can only speak Italian, or can only speak English or Portuguese. So it makes my life a bit easier, because communication, when I go some of these countries that speak these different languages, I'm able to get around easier. So yeah, it's very nice to know 4 languages, but I hope I can continue learning more. The next language I would want to learn probably is Czech.
Czech for charity.
Yes. Yeah. Czech. No, Czech or French, to be honest. French, I was speaking, my mom speaks French. And I think I could pick up French quite quickly.
That's probably a good point. There are lots of French people in the paddock, also French teams in Formula 2. So possibly looking forward to next year. That would definitely be useful.
Yeah, you never know. You never know the future. But oui. Parle un peu de français. Je suis Enzo. Ça va bien? Ça va bien, Alejandro? Ça va bien? No, I know a little bit. I don't know a lot. I know a couple sentences. That's it.
Yeah, well, in order to introduce you, that's always useful. You impress the people at first sight, then
yes,
to English. No, the rest of that's very, very fine. So now we speak about the future. Earlier you mentioned that your target is of course Formula One, but there are indeed many other categories in the motorsport scene that we've seen IndyCar in recent years, especially IndyCar, that's gotten quite a few drivers from Formula 2. This year we've got Callum Ilott and also Chris Langer who moved there. And also your brother has competed there. So I guess you've already got, I don't know, some contacts there, but at least you know how it is. Do you think, is that an option for you, in order if you cannot make it to Formula One? Are you thinking, okay, Formula One is not possible for whatever reason, I can go elsewhere, I can go to the States?
Oh, to be honest, I haven't thought about that, because I mean, now you know, I'm in the road to F1. I'm in Formula 2. Obviously, I don't really think too much about the future. I'm focused. Because if you start thinking too much about the future, you start going crazy. You start being like this and that, and then, oh, what if this happens, this and that. So I go day by day. I just do my best every race weekend. So my next race is Barcelona. I've just been thinking about Barcelona. Do I think, yeah, speaking about the future, my ultimate goal is Formula One. So when you set a goal, like in the way I normally do things is, if I set this goal, which is Formula One, I want to make it Formula One, I'm going to do everything possible for me to make it there. You know, no one's going to stop me. Only I can stop myself. So I'm going to do everything I can to make it Formula One. You know, work as hard as possible, be the best possible, you know, best me I can be. And that's my ultimate goal. That's what I'm working for. And that's what I'm looking at for the future. But obviously there's other categories like IndyCar, you know, many other categories. Obviously I would love to race in IndyCar one day. But right now I'm, like I said, I don't look too much to the future. I'm just focused on my next race in Barcelona and just focused on doing and making a good 2022, get us a very good result this year and see what happens next year.
Yeah, well, we are now approaching the end. So the last two questions. You say you are still working hard to get to Formula One, and we've seen very few drivers not making it without being in a driver academy in recent years. Are you looking into getting into another academy right now, or is it something that perhaps more towards next year, whenever the situation is more clear?
Yeah, I mean, I have absolutely no idea, to be honest, because like I said, I'm just, it's too early to tell. I mean, we're only in oh, going to the fourth race weekend, and it's a big calendar this year in Formula 2. Am I looking to get into Academy? Yes and no. I mean, there's the positives and the negatives of being in an Academy. But like I said, at the moment, I'm just focused on doing my best on track, and then we'll see where that takes me. Because yeah, there's a lot we can speak about, a lot that we can think about, but at the end of the day, I have to deliver on track. So all I can do is just focus on driving the best possible, and trying always to do the best.
Yeah. Now, very last question, a bit different.
Of course.
And Formula E announced a couple of days ago that they would go to Brazil the following, the next season. Have you kept an eye on Formula E in recent years, and what are your opinions on the championship?
I think I'll be very honest with you, I haven't followed it that much. I have a lot of friends that do watch Formula E. I think it's different. It's a very competitive championship. I mean, if you look at the drivers that are there, it's majority are top drivers. So it's a very competitive championship. There's very big manufacturers involved in the championship. And like I said, I think it's just different. It's different to everything else. It's 100% electric cars. The tracks are very different. I do watch a couple times the races, and they are very, a lot of action. There's always a lot of overtaking going on, a lot of touching and things like this. I think it's a really cool championship.
Yeah, well, I mean, I see you are, even if you don't follow it really closely, you keep your mind open regarding that. So perhaps in the future, who knows, we see you in front of your home crowd there.
In Brazil, it's very cool that Formula E will be racing in Brazil. But at the moment, like I said, I'm just, focused on doing a good job this year. And my ultimate goal is Formula One.
Yeah, definitely. So we wish you all the best, especially first for Barcelona and then chasing your Formula One dream. And we hope to have you soon again with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Alejandro. And I think, are you coming to Barcelona?
No, unfortunately, there have been some last minute complications, but
okay,
we will see each other. We'll see each other in future rounds.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot for the invite today.